This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Heart Greens. Helping to support healthy blood pressure and circulation just became hassle-free. Introducing Heart Greens, the functional food that you drink using the same dark leafy greens recommended by both the DASH and Mediterranean diets. Get a free canister of Heart Greens with your first order and a 100% money-back guarantee. Heart Greens even guarantees you'll love the taste. Call 800-951-8940. That's 800-951-8940. Or visit IntelligentGreens.com. That's IntelligentGreens.com. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Once again, it's time for our weekly Q&A with Layla. It's a feature that many of you anxiously await because you never know what kind of questions are going to pop up on our weekly Q&A. And you've got an opportunity to send your questions to us via radio program at AOL.com. With me today, Hoffman Center nutritionist Layla Mudin. And she's a registered dietitian. And she also has a master's degree in the field of nutrition. How you doing, Layla?
Okay, Dr. Hoffman. How are you?
Good, good. Getting in the holiday swing of things?
Yeah. We're already in it. Wow.
It's amazing. Yeah, here we go. It's like a big countdown to Christmas and New Year's. And time flies. Mm-hmm. So anything hot on the news front?
On the news front? Yeah. Besides post-election madness?
Post-election madness. And in terms of what's happening on the health front, trying to put my ear to the ground in terms of implications for our community. Our community mm-hmm. being the community of people who are interested in freedom of choice in access to health care that we desire, the type of health care that we talk about here. And there's very little in terms of signals specifically, you know, in terms of what is going to happen. I think for people who are sort of on the green side of the spectrum, this election has had it's portended bad news in terms of environmental regulations that may be relaxed. There have been some pretty urgent dispatches from Environmental Working Group about, how we have to stop the onslaught of the Trump administration. So from that standpoint, some of our listeners may be a little dismayed and on guard in terms of what may be happening. On the other hand, there are some encouraging developments in terms of how we're structuring healthcare in this country, more towards discretionary healthcare, not locking people into insurance plans that usually limit their access to natural therapies, but are heaping on all kinds of requirements that you undertake various forms of conventional screening and treatment, so that maybe, just maybe, there may be more choice in the future if things work out the way that it's currently envisioned. So there's some good news there. Also, there's a little bit of since this is going to be an anti-regulatory administration, pushing back on regulations. I think Trump said, for every new regulation that we put into effect, we've got to rescind two. And who knows if he'll be able to fulfill that promise. This may have a salutary effect on the FDA's attack and the FTC's attack on the supplement industry. One can only hope that will rein in some of the Washington bureaucrats who have a lot of time on their hands and basically want to create more regulations that may restrict access to the to supplements of our choice. Also, in terms of the complexion of Congress. Congress, held the line. It was thought originally that Congress was going to flip, at least the Senate was going to flip to the Democrats. And that would have empowered a guy who is one of our arch foes, Dick Durbin of Illinois. Mm-hmm. He's sort of second in command to Chuck Schumer. And Chuck Schumer, I don't know that he has any very overt positions vis-a-vis supplements. But
I don't know
Dick
either.
Durbin,
he's the new minority leader now, right?
He's the minority leader. But Dick Durbin is sort of his second in command. And Dick Durbin is an avowed foe of the supplement industry. So from that standpoint, I think that that may be a net positive for the supplement community. So, it, you know, as usual, it's a mixed bag. And of course, there's a lot of promises and there's a lot of claims, a lot of hopes, and there's a lot of alarms being raised. And we'll have to see how it pans out. We'll just have to see how it pans out. You know, I'm in touch with the Alliance for Natural Health, which is our lobbying group in Washington. And I'll be talking to them in the next few months as more and more of these cabinet appointments get firmed up. And, you know, we're going to sort of take the temperature of the people who deal with Congress in Washington, our lobbyists and our representatives, because, you know, literally I've gone down to Washington to talk to Congress people about supplement regulation. And it'll be interesting to see what they think in terms of their preliminary discussions with Congress and the new administration. But
how have you been received in the past in doing that, going down to Washington and discussing all this?
On the one hand, it, you know, it's a lot of fun because you go down there and you literally, you really feel like this is like citizen action, because you literally walk into the Senate office building or the congressional offices of representatives, and you're greeted there, and you're greeted very cordially. Usually by a lower level functionary who is you know, generally an eager, well scrubbed young aide who you know, listens very attentively to what you say, and then your appointment's over, and another person comes in from another special interest group to plead their case, and it's sort of a procession of people who go in there, and you wonder if you know, if their heads are just set on nod approvingly. And whether you indeed will, you know, what your concerns are will be relayed to the actual representative or congressperson. I think it's rare that, you know, you get an audience with an actual representative. It's more like, you know, the congressional staff member is the one who you talk to. But, you know, clearly this, we are in the natural products industry, in the supplement industry, supplement consumers, people who believe in freedom of choice in healthcare. We are a constituency. We're a very minority constituency, but there are big issues, you know, GMOs, vaccines, you know, the regulation of the supplement industry, regulation of compounding pharmacies. These are issues at a federal level. Where we can have some, wield some influence, and we can say, hey, look, we're a block of voters. And, if you go down, you know, on record as being, repudiating our viewpoints, you know, we're not going to vote for you. You know, we're going to campaign actively against you. So, you know.
And it's very empowering.
Yeah. It
is
empowering.
Being in that position, really. So
it is.
Yeah.
It's, it, you know, it's kind of like, yeah, it restores your faith a little bit in democracy. It may be just symbolic, or it may just be, you know, you can air your grievances, but it may not make a difference in the end. But at least it's you know, it's access. And, you know, I'm privileged to be part of that. So I enjoy it. I enjoy that role.
Bravo, bravo. Okay. Dr. Hoffman, we have actually an email that I thought was a kind of urgent. It's a more recent email that I'm letting this email kind of cut to the front of our questions a little bit. Dorit writes, "Dear Dr. Hoffman, the article, Which Supplements Are Worthwhile by Jane Brody, has upset me greatly. She claims omega-3s are worthless and can cause aggressive prostate cancer in men. This is just one of her claims. I am someone who listens to your podcast every day. I buy numerous pills. I take garlic, pycnogenol, CoQ10, etc. I hope to hear from you about your thoughts on this article. Should I be concerned and stop taking my supplements? From your loyal listener, Dorit."
Okay, well, I have one comment, and that is balderdash. Yeah. I could use a stronger word, but this is a family broadcast, so
balderdash is a good word.
So, you know, look, we actually covered that in a recent podcast. I don't know if it's posted yet for all of you.
It is posted. It is posted. I want to let Dorit know this podcast is from November 23rd, and it's a clinical focus entitled Fish Oil, Why Aren't You Taking It? So, Dorit, go to drhoffman.com, click on Listen, click on Podcast, and go to the November 23rd podcast. You'll see it there.
Okay.
It's a clinical focus, and that hopefully will relieve your anxiety about any claim she made in that article about fish oil.
Yeah. So, and more specifically, what Jane Brody did, I think she really did a disservice to a topic that is a very expansive topic, which is the value of supplements, and I don't think you can really fairly discuss it as a category, because there are supplements that are harmful on the one hand.
Yeah.
There are supplements that are overblown in claims. Maybe they're not harmful, but the claims are extravagant and the science hasn't yet reached its full level of veracity. And then there are supplements which are promising, where the science leads us to believe that they may be beneficial. And then there are supplements which just knock it out of the park in terms of the vast amount of documentation that supports their use. And I think that fish oil actually is in that latter category in terms of multiple benefits and minimal harms. There are some studies on fish oil, which I think stack the deck for failure. Where they may have said, okay, we're going to give you some fish oil margarine, you know, a little tiny amount of fish oil in a margarine vehicle, and give it to some patients who are very far gone in terms of heart disease. And, oh, it doesn't make a difference. Okay, well, many flaws in that. There may be not enough fish oil. It may not have been done for long enough. These people may have been too sick. People may have been too sick to where we could – call this the Lazarus effect. It's hard to raise the dead, you know, so to speak, when you have someone who's very far gone in terms of advanced cardiovascular disease. And so maybe benefits were not seen. And in addition, some studies where people were on multiple medications, blood thinners, and statins, and blood pressure medications, all of which in some way are duplicative of the effects of fish oil, and where the benefits of fish oil might be masked or not obvious. So, and I've reviewed this in an article that I wrote a few years back for Clinical Advisor, which is a journal. It's a medical journal. And, you know, I concluded that there's plenty of evidence that fish oil is beneficial for the heart. Now, when it comes to that prostate cancer thing, and we're recapping what we discussed in that podcast. The study was done in Seattle, where they measured the level of omega-3 in the bloodstream of men, and then they didn't actually monitor their intake of fish. They didn't monitor their intake of capsules of fish oil, but they then determined that paradoxically, there was a higher risk of prostate cancer in the men who had high levels of omega-3. Now, that does not mean that fish oil caused their prostate cancer. It doesn't say anything about consumption. It just says, you know, that for some reason a blood level was higher. One could assume perhaps that these men consumed more fish or more fish oil capsules, but that's not entirely clear.
Correlation. It's a correlation. It doesn't necessarily mean association, and it certainly does not mean cause and effect.
Right. And it may be that higher levels of omega-3 are a marker for intake of poor quality fish that are very laced with PCBs, for example. You know, that some men consume a lot of lake fish, farmed fish. So it doesn't speak to the issue of taking really eating clean salmon, or taking properly molecularly distilled fish oil that is free of these contaminants over a period of time.
And so, those contaminants are definitely carcinogenic, most of them.
Yeah. And they, and finally, there's a lot of reason to believe that fish oil has an anti-inflammatory effect, which clearly plays a role in the development of many cancers. So if anything, fish oil is probably a cancer preventive, and there are many studies that suggest that, both in breast cancer and in prostate cancer. So this is an outlier study that somehow got seized upon by the skeptics. And, you know, once again, looking at the background of Jane Brody, she's a award-winning journalist and investigative reporter. But when I look at her science credentials, there's really a dearth of science credentials in her resume in terms of her ability perhaps to drill down and look at a study and critique the study. And yet she's a wonderful writer. And paradoxically, in the article, she says, well, most studies say that supplements aren't worthwhile or worthless or even harmful. Nonetheless, she takes glucosamine sulfate for her arthritis, suggesting that she even she is conflicted about you know, potential benefits. So that's that. It was an unfortunate article, and it it again a little bit like saying that writing an article that's about seven or eight paragraphs long saying you shouldn't take drugs because there's no proof that drugs work and they're pretty harmful and they cause a lot of side effects. I mean, one could do that, but that would be unfair to the many medical advances that have been achieved through pharmaceutical drugs. And of course, we being kind of conservative about the use of pharmaceutical drugs, but you just can't, you know, you just can't paint with a broad brush. So that's the long and the short of it. And you get a more comprehensive review of the subject if you listen to that podcast. So let that column not poison the well. It's amazing what influence mainstream media has on opinion, but you know, I got to say, there's one of the nice consequences of the Trump phenomenon, you know, like it or not, is that there's really a pushback against quote authority, you know, the mainstream media, which got it wrong big time about this election, and also
and some had to apologize.
But also, I think there's a parallel when it comes to the pronouncements of the government. You know, the government saying, well, you should be on a low-fat diet. The government saying, you know, supplements, you know, we're not sure that supplements are beneficial. The government saying, don't take too much vitamin D. 600 international units is what you should be taking. So many erroneous pronouncements that a lot of people are distrusting authority. And, you know, we here on Intelligent Medicine, we're sort of guerrilla media. Pushing back against, I mean, we have 3 million downloads, but the New York Times has hundreds of millions of downloads. And so it's a little bit of a David and Goliath situation where we're trying to offer a different perspective, a science-based perspective, but nonetheless a perspective that's not representative of the vested interests in our country, you know, which are dominated by big pharma.
Right. Well, the tide may be shifting now because I think a lot of people's mistrust has really
boiled over.
Poisoned the well, as you say. Yeah,
It boiled over. I mean,
a lot of journalism. So
It's. I mean, and you know, the net effect of this, what she cites in that article is the paradox that the studies don't support the use of supplements, yet over half of the population of the United States, herself included, it takes supplements. So what does that say about the...
A little hypocrisy there?
Yeah. You know, what does that say about the credibility of the scientific and medical establishment when it comes to this area? And, you know, we still believe that there's lots of scientific substantiation. That's what we try to bring to the fore here in this program.
Dorit, we hope this answers your question and alleviates your fears about fish oil.
Yep.
Thank you for your email. Okay. We've got an email from Martin. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, first of all, I would like to say that I find your podcast very informative. I've been a loyal listener for 3 years now and have learned so much from your show. My question is regarding Garcinia cambogia. I have read that this is a safe and effective product to take to help to curb one's appetite and to help with weight loss. What is your take on this supplement? My wife and I are in our 60s. We're pretty healthy. We estimate that we're about 12 to 15 pounds overweight, and although we exercise with free weights 3 times a week and walk the other days, we're unable to lose the 12 to 15 pounds. We appreciate your comments on the subject. Please keep up the great work. Thank you, Martin.
Okay. Okay. Well, so you know, Layla, you have a lot of experience working with weight loss patients, and some of them have asked you about Garcinia Cambogia. So, what's your take on it?
My take on it, first of all, Garcinia Cambogia is also Malabar tamarind. It's tamarind. And you may find it in your spice cabinet as well. Overall, I have seen, and by the way, there's no such thing as a magic bullet for weight loss. So if you're in your 60s and you're doing free weights 3 times a week, which actually is optimal, weight training 3 times a week with a day off in between is optimal, doing some aerobics the other days. You did not mention, however, Martin, what you and your wife are doing with regard to your diet.
Mm-hmm. And we sometimes have to watch out for what's called moral license, which is that, you know, I paid at the gym already, so I can afford to
eat that Snickers bar.
Or have some, you know, bagel with cream cheese because I burned off 350 calories in the gym today.
Right. You still ultimately need to watch your diet, and then you could really reap the benefits of that weight training when you start seeing the tone, the definition of muscle, any of that. Anyway, I digress, but Garcinia, from what I'm reading, there have been some good studies in rats that have shown that it can help to inhibit an enzyme called citric acid lysase, which is required in de novo lipogenesis, meaning in fat creation and fat storage. Mm-hmm. However, the studies in humans have not replicated this as well.
Right.
As what we've seen in the rodent studies.
I think I would focus
on diet first. Yeah. Right.
There was a review of trials that found that it's a review article from the Journal of Obesity. The use of Garcinia extract hydroxycitric acid as a weight loss supplement. And what they concluded is that it may work a little bit. It may work, but very, very slight benefit. The evidence from randomized controlled trials suggests that Garcinia extracts generate weight loss on the short term. However, the magnitude of this effect is small, is no longer statistically significant, and its clinical relevance seems questionable. So they say they can do more trials that can be of longer duration and, you know, bigger numbers. Mm-hmm. But here's the interesting thing about hydroxycitrate. You know, sometimes we discover an off-target effect of something that we've been
hydroxycitrate.
Using.
Hydroxycitrate is Garcinia Cambogia, is that right?
Right. It's the main ingredient that is delivered mm-hmm. by this herbal product or this nutraceutical. And what they have found, and this is a little bit like, for example, metformin. It's a diabetes drug. But they found it actually may have some benefits in terms of anti-aging and in terms of cancer. So this kind of an off-target effect. And while hydroxycitrate doesn't produce much weight loss, it does promote something called autophagy. Now, autophagy, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, is a mechanism by which the body cleans itself up and repairs, it takes out the garbage. I think that's the best way to describe it. Taking out the garbage, the cellular garbage.
Cleans up.
That's
yeah.
maybe an oversimplification, but anyway. The advantage of that is that that may have an impact on cancer, and it may have an impact on anti-aging. And I wrote about anti-aging in an article a few months ago, and I just incidentally mentioned Garcinia as potentially an anti-aging agent. It's also a potential calorie restriction mimetic, because when you fast, or when you do intermittent fasting, it actually promotes autophagy. Autophagy is one of the buzzwords now in longevity that you actually, and one of the best ways to promote autophagy is to fast, and you actually kind of consume a little bit of, it allows the body to rest and clean up. And so it may be that while Garcinia cambogia doesn't, you know, it's a flash in the pan for weight loss, it may have some application to anti-aging. We're going to keep following the research on this because it could be part of a formula along with things like resveratrol and tyrosylbene and nicotinamide riboside. It might be part of EGCG from green tea, perhaps. These are compounds that may have anti-aging effects.
Yeah, very, very interesting.
Yep.
So, Martin, there may be another reason then to take it.
Right. But you're not going to lose weight.
Right. Keep up your exercise, though.
Right. All right. And hey, here's a little tip. Try the Whole 30 diet. Do it for 30 days, you and your wife.
Oh, yeah.
Take the challenge, and I think you'll lose some weight. That's another subject
there
entirely, which I've discussed on other podcasts, and you can read about my reviews of the Whole 30 diet, which I'm personally following at drhoffman.com. All right. Let's take a break because we divide these podcasts into two parts, and give us a preview of what we're going to talk about in part two.
Okay, how to deal with the double-edged sword of having type 2 diabetes and reduced kidney function.
All right, we'll tackle that when we return. I'm Dr. Ron Hoffman, today with Hoffman Center Nutrition's Layla Mutin, and this is our weekly Q&A with Layla. Stay tuned for part two.